Two Sides of a Coin, Dharma Talks by Sayadaw Yuwakata. And A Noble Search, Dharma Talks by Sayadaw Yuwakata. Appendix of Dharma Talks by Sayadaw Yuwakata and Sayadaw Yuwakata, Sandima. Here I want to include some teachers' teachings on samadhi and pain related to sitting meditation. It can be a wide subject if includes many teachers. Here is only just for a few to reflect. Whoever is a Samatha Yanaka yogi or Vipassana Yanaka yogi, in practice, he, she has to encounter pain and learn how to deal with it. Actually, pleasure is more harmful than pain. Because Sukha Vedana is deceitful and people get lost in it, see today's world situations. Dukkha Vedana is straightforward and people have the chance to overcome or escape them. How to deal with pain? There is no fixed rule about it. Teachers have their own views, and sometimes they are opposite to each other. For example, one teacher said that in Samatha or Samadhi practice, when pain occurs while sitting, one cannot change or correct the posture, but in insight, Vipassana, practice, one must change or correct it. Another teacher said the opposite. We can develop our meditation only by practice and experiment, not copying from others. We must learn from other teachers and do the experiments they teach with them as well. For most people in the beginning of practice, sitting for a long period is impossible and because of pain can give up meditation very easily. It is better to increase the time period little by little with the practice going on. The best way is making the practice become the way of life, i.e., mindful exercises in daily life. The Mahasi meditation system is good for this. Actually, the Four Noble Truths or dependent co-arising are intertwined with our daily life, and only we don't know about them. Someone has mindfulness in daily life, practicing the Four Noble Truths in accordance with the 12 links of D.A. process. But for common people they are creating the two truths of Dukkha and Samudaya in daily life for wandering in samsara on and on. Only by direct practice and experiment can we understand pain and find a way out to overcome them. One of the beneficial ways in daily life practice is using the Dharma, especially the teaching of Patthikasamapada with contemplation in daily life experiences. There are many Buddhists in Burma to study or listen the teachings of Mogik Sayadawji's talks on D.A. process and practices, or some of the teachers who taught in his style and system have great benefits. Some people understand it very clearly and using the teachings in their lives change their behaviors and overcome problems and difficulties. I get this information from Ven. Adhikaramsi's talks. He had given a lot of D.A. lectures in the whole Burma and I met many Buddhists who really changed their lives for the better. It was like the education of the Chinese sages who changed people's lives, who really put into practice in societies. We can change people's life only with wholesome education and noble education. Another key point in understanding of DA teaching is through reflection that we can let go of our egoic views or selfishness, and so temporarily reduce much of the suffering we experience. With the self-view or unwise attention, it'll create or make the problems or suffering greater. With the right view and thinking, sitting meditation becomes easier and good for dealing with pain. If we take pain or view them with self, it becomes more unbearable or increases the mental suffering. We view and contemplate pains or unpleasant feelings as not self, anatta, empty of essence, sunna, and stranger or alien, parijana, and become sati and panna. There were some who didn't know anything about dependent co-origination before and practiced with the wrong view. Even though they were tough, people couldn't bear the pain. After they had the right view and let go of the self and selfishness, they could contemplate pains as separate from the mind and see them as alien. They discerned pains as something in front of them. In one of Mogik Sayadaw's talks on Dukkha Vedana, he said if Dukkha Vedana starts arising, contemplate it as quickly as possible, and it becomes less severe. Actually, pain is not bad as most people think, only we identify it with oneself and fear that it creates a lot of suffering to the mind. A Mahasi teacher, during the Samatha practice with pains, aches and tiredness can change and correct the postures. In Vipassana practice, you can't change it. Contemplate it with patience and endurance. In this way, you can understand the nature of the khanda. At Thav Khu Meditation Center, in southern Burma, Mon State, at least yogis have to sit for 3 hours. Some elder female yogis could sit for 5 or 6 hours. We also see elder female yogis in Thai forest monasteries on the Uposatha days. They came to the monasteries and practice for 24 hours even without sleep. Sometimes they sat there for many hours. Therefore, Thay Ingu Sayadawgyi had said that there were many women in heavens and more women were attaining Dharma than men. More women than men also listen to Dharma talks and make merits. Where will the men go? Practicing with patience and endurance to overcome Dukkha Vedana. Overcoming Vedana does not mean there is no Vedana. From Dukkha Vedana it changes into Sukha Vedana or Upekkha Vedana. The yogis are not afraid of Dukkha Vedana if knowing its nature. Later, yogis could sit longer and overcame Vedana and learned about them. Thay Ingu Sayadaw said in his talks that it was practicing for dying. Experienced yogis do not fear death when dying. Should not contemplate Dukkha Vedana with the desire of wanting it to go away or disappear. This includes desire, lobha. Another way is contemplating with dosa to totally extinguish it. Yogis have to abandon both extremes. Then, how to contemplate it? Contemplate to know its nature. This is feeling or experiencing nature, not a being nor a self nature. One yogi asked this question. In one book it was mentioned that contemplating Vedana as painful or pain, pain or aching and dying at the moment, one will fall into apayas, i.e., the four woeful existences. Therefore, how to contemplate it? Not listening to the Dharma, i.e., Sanatha Dharma, Patikasamapada Dharma, etc. Not having any knowledge of the Dharma, and dying with only concepts or wrong views and thoughts, one will be oppressed by Dukkha Vedana at the time of death and look at one's body in great pain. This is unwise attention with ditti and tanha. At that time, there is body pain and mental pain. If you die like this, you will fall into apayas. The yogi's contemplation is not including bodily concepts such as head, body, hands and feet and should not pay attention to them. He pays attention only to its intrinsic nature of Paramatta Dharma. Noting the pain of object as pain is sati and knowing of its nature is panna. Therefore, noting with sati and panna, and he will not fall into apayas at the moment of death. It seems that this is not simple, because the mind's response to pain is the focus. If the mind with aversion, irritation, etc., it's not easy to overcome it. Instead of the physical pain, it is better to contemplate the mental pain, feeling, as Thay Ingu Sayadaw says, it is better to do so. See Sayadaw's teachings and instructions. Closing square bracket. A Mogic teacher. The importance of Vedana. Many yogis are stuck at Dukkha Vedana. Their practice did not develop because they did not understand Vedana or contemplated it in the wrong way. This is reacting to Vedana wrongly with unwise attention. One also cannot overcome it with wrong views. Should not contemplate Dukkha Vedana in an unbearable way. There are four faults dealing with Dukkha Vedana unbearably. These are: 1. Dukkha Vedana becomes stronger. 2. Samadhi falls down. 3. Wanting it to disappear. 4. Vedana covering the mind and delusion comes in, and does not know one's situation. There are two kinds of khandhas. 1. The original khandha, i.e., the physical body and can see with the fleshy eyes. 2. The arising khandha. This can only be known with the mind eye. They can be called conceptual khandha, panati, and intrinsic khandha, paramatta. The yogi has to contemplate the arising khandha. If one does not overcome the pain when Dukkha Vedana arises, the mind also becomes painful because of the mix-up of the two khandhas. We see pains with normal eyes. This is seeing with self-view, attato anupasati. Have to contemplate the arising khandha with knowledge eye, nana eye. When discerning anicca, only the body is in pain and not affecting the mind. The mind can bear pain. Tav ku sayadorgi. 1. If you desire great happiness, you must have patience with small dukkha. With dukkha only you attain great happiness. 2. The main point of sitting for a longer period is to be patient with it. Therefore, during the contemplation, you must be patient with endurance. 3. Don't be afraid of Dukkha Vedana. With patient contemplating of Dukkha Vedana, I will develop mature samadhi quickly and not very long, I will experience strong coolness. In this way, refresh and uplift your mind and contemplate with persistence. After overcoming of Dukkha Vedana, I will encounter happiness. 4. In Dharma practice, you have to practice with patience and don't change the body very often from this side to the other side, like roasting a mok le pwe. Mok le pwe is a kind of Burmese cheap sweet food made with rice flour and sugar in a thin slice. This slice of sweet food has to be roasted on a charcoal stove and has to turn both sides very often, and then it expands. Sayadaw himself is a very good example of patience and endurance with pains in sitting meditation. He taught what he himself had practiced. All Mahasi centers only sit for an hour with walking meditation. At Sayadaw's center, yogis have to sit for at least 3 hours. Ta Tom Min Goon Sayadawgi, Mahasi Sayadaw's teacher. Don't make it arise or vanish, but know it arises and vanishes. Making it arises is lobha or making it vanishes is dosa. Not knowing the arising and vanishing is moha. Contemplate with patience the unbearable and different kinds of Dukkha Vedana until their end without changing the posture. At that time, you should not relax your noting or contemplating. Giving up your khandha and life for changing with Dharma and with persistence and courage you have to note or contemplate them. Only you discern Dukkha Sakka that you will see the path of extinction of Dukkha. Kalesa has the nature of burning like fire. Because of this burning Kalesa that suffering, Dukkha, arises, and we experience Dukkha Vedana. At the time of battling with Kalesa enemies which are testing the yogi's courage and persistence of effort. Vipassana practice is long-term practice. Our age, era, is also Naya period or Naya Pugala. In our time most people take some time to practice for realization of Dharma, and need a lot of effort. So the main point is contemplating the vanishing of mind and body, form. To contemplate all the time is the duty of yogis. Only with continuous contemplation knowledge, jnana, develops to the top, and when encounter a suitable situation, it will arise instantly. Este Garing Tang Mahagandhayon Sayador U Uttara, 1858-1919. Before the dangers of sickness and death, come first practicing the Dharma. If you fear the great sufferings of upayas, woeful existences, and try to be patient with small sufferings. If you desire the great happiness of Nibbana and try to abandon small happiness. On Samadhi. Here I include On Samadhi by two teachers, a Thai forester Jan and a Chinese Chan, Zen, master. These are only in gist. If people are interested in their teachings, they can search on the internet. The Thai Jan was Lungpo Tait Dasaramzi, a senior disciple of Lungpo Mun. There was an autobiography by him and translated into English as An Autobiography of a Forest Monk. The Chinese Chan master was Master Xuan Hua, City of 10,000 Buddhas. There was a biography about his early life in mainland China and Hong Kong, compiled and written by his Western disciples in two volumes. On Samadhi by Lungpo Tait is taken from a small booklet called Buddho, translated by Ajahn Thanissaro, Buddho Mantra Meditation. The Buddho mantra is quite well known in the Thai forest tradition and is used by many famous Ajahns, e.g., Ajahn Mun. Once, when he was living in a forest in northern Thailand, he taught some hill tribesmen to recite it, and achieved good results. Using it with breath meditation, anapana, is also very good. Its meaning also reminds us that we must always be awake. So it is a good meditation object that combines the Buddhist mantra Buddho with the breath in daily life. Also, it is very easy to practice by all, even for children. In Chinese Mahayana tradition, the mantra Ami to Fo or Amitabha is quite a common practice. They have many records on Chinese practices from a long time ago. One of the Chinese monks who became adept in Amitabha mantra was Guang Qing Old Monk. He was quite skilled in samadhi and could stay in samadhi for many days. At the age of 95, one day he was sitting on a cane chair and said to his monks and nuns as follows, "No coming and no going. No more business," and closed his eyes in samadhi and passed away very peacefully. No one knows the time of his death because he was used to sitting in samadhi like we Bu Sayadaw. There are many similarities between them. Both of them were sitta practices for their whole life, very few words and quiet, adept in samadhi, attained psychic ability, etc. We Bu Sayadaw's practice was also very simple with anapana in all postures. One dharma, echo dharmo. Once Sariputta asked a female wanderer a simple question, "What is the one dharma to nibbana?" She could not answer, so Sariputta gave her the answer, "With Vedana can arrive at nibbana." There are many of one dharma to nibbana. Some even think without the knowledge of Abhidharma it's not enough for realization. If this is true, there would be no realization in the Thai forest tradition. Nor would there be a 7-year-old novice arahant in the suttas. One of the well-known Mahasi meditation teachers mentioned the stories of some children who practiced the Mahasi system. They told their direct experiences in a very simple way without any knowledge of books. They could enter phala samapatti, fruition state, after testing by teachers. Some Buddhists, They have strong desire for coming and going in samsara to save all living beings. But they do not know that they are deceived by Kalesa Mara of Bhava Tana. It was like the coolies at the seaport. They are carrying heavy rice bags coming and going for sensual pleasures. They prefer to carry more and more rice bags on their backs than put it down. Likewise, they took dukkha as happiness. Even the Buddha could not help everyone. Don't talk about saving them. Buddha is not a savior. You have to save yourself. So don't be confused, otherwise, it will become empty words. Lung Po takes, Buddha. Before practice meditation, you should first learn the differences between the heart and the mind. In Thai, Jy or Giant Jit, in Pali, Mano or Chitta and Vinana, they are not the same thing. The mind is what thinks and forms perceptions and ideas about all sorts of things. Jy is what simply stays still and knows that it's still, without forming any further thoughts at all. Their difference is like that between a river and waves on the river. When the waves are still, all that is left is the clear bright water of the river. All sciences and defilement are able to arise because the mind thinks and forms ideas and strays out in search of them. You'll be able to see these things clearly with our own heart once the mind becomes still and reaches the heart. Water is something clean and clear by its very nature. If someone puts dye into the water, it will change in line with the dye. But once the water is filtered and distilled, it will become clean and clear as before. This is an analogy for the heart and the mind. Actually, the Buddha taught that the mind is identical with the heart. If there is no jy and there is no jit, jit is a condition. The heart itself has no condition. In meditation practice, no matter what the teacher or method, if it's corrected, it will have penetrated into jy. When you reach the jy, you'll see all your defilement, because the mind gathers all defilements into itself. If you don't understand the relationship between jy and jit, you don't know where or how to practice concentration. Every man or animal has a jy and jit. They have different duties. Jit thinks, wanders and forms ideas of all sorts, in line with where the defilements lead it. As for the jy, it's simply what knows. It doesn't form any ideas at all. It's neutral in the middle with regard to everything. The awareness which is neutral. That is the jy. Jy doesn't have a body. It's a mental phenomenon. It's simply awareness. You can place it anywhere at all. It doesn't lie inside or outside the body. If you want to understand what the jy is, you can try an experiment. Breathe deeply and hold your breath for a moment. At that point, there won't be anything at all, except for one thing, the neutral awareness. That is jy or what no. Lung Po Tate talked about jit and jy. This is from a talk given by Ajahn Jayasaro. By jy, he means the sense of equanimity, the clarity of knowing. Jit refers to thinking, feeling, perceiving. This is his way of talking. He gave a very simple means of understanding what he is talking about. He gave a very simple means of understanding what he is talking about. He says to hold your breath for a few moments. Your thinking stops. That is jy. Start breathing again and as the thinking reappears, that is jit. And he talks about getting more and more in contact with jy, and as the mind becomes calm in meditation. He doesn't talk about samadhi nimitta or a mental counterpart to the breath. He talked about turning towards the one who knows the breath. Therefore, as the breath becomes more and more refined, so the sense of knowing the breath becomes more and more prominent. He says then to turn away from the breath and go into the one who knows the breath. That will take you into apana samadhi, absorption samadhi. Note, for more teachings and on Dharma about the Thai forest tradition are available on the internet at www.accesstoinsight.org, www.mettaforest.org, dharmatalks.org. Recommendation for reading, The Craft of the Heart, by Ajahn Lee Dharmadaro, translated by Thanissaro Bhikkhu. https://forestdharma.org/books/. Chan Master Xuan Huas on Samadhi. Concentration is a very important strength. If you don't have concentration, where will your discernment get any strength? The discernment of insight meditation is not something that can be fashioned into being by arrangement. Instead, it arises from concentration which has been mastered until it's good and solid. Samadhi power comes from patience. You should be patient with pain, suffering and difficulties. After maintaining samadhi for a long time, you'll spontaneously have wisdom. So sitting in jhana, Pali, jhana, Chinese, chan, is extremely important. It's just teaching you to bear what can't be borne, to be patient with what is impossible to bear. That's samadhi power. Sitting a long time we will gain chan, jhana. To gain freedom from birth and death, you must practice without fear of death. You must not be afraid of pain, difficulty, suffering or anything else. We must learn to look upon all matters as being trifles and should not be attached to anything. Endure suffering and pain. It's only by enduring a moment of pain that we can achieve everlasting happiness. All of you should be courageous and vigorous and cultivate diligently. In this way, you'll be able to overcome all obstacles. Truly recognize your own faults. And don't discuss the faults of others. Others' faults are just my own. Being of one substance with all is called great compassion. In the Theravada view, being of one substance with all means all beings are samsaric dukkha travelers in round of existence. If we really understand or penetrate dukkha, only develop true great compassion and not otherwise, because true wisdom and true compassion can't separate. Some explanations on the practice. Here I want to clarify two points mentioned in Sayadaw U. Kandima's talks. These are, Mahapalanka, in Burmese, Mahapalan, and, the three levels of samadhi, Bhavangas, or the three stages of purification of the mind, or three Bhavangas. Ukandima's usage of Mahapalan means full lotus posture meditation. Actually, full lotus is a yoga posture. Therefore, I translate it as diamond meditation. Here, the three levels of samadhi, or three bhavangas, is more important. Without these three stages of samadhi, full insight is impossible. See his bio talk. The first bhavanga refers to the first jhana. The second bhavanga refers to the second and third jhanas. The third bhavanga refers to the fourth jhana. To understand them clearer, I recommend the readers to read his book, Theravada Meditation Art and Methodology, on www.amazon.com, ebook. Another important sutta in his practice is Minnesota 148, Chachaka Sutta, the six sets of six, Majjhima Nikaya. The six sets of six are 1. The six internal bases, Ayatana. 2. The six external bases, Ayatana. 3. The six consciousness, Vinana. 4. The Six Contact, Fasa. 5. The Six Feelings, Vedana. 6. The Six Cravings, Tanha. A yogi must know these three six sets of six directly in the practice. If not, the practice is still not right yet. See his bio talk. But the Ingu Sayadaw and his way of practices are not the same. Yu Kandima himself mentioned this point in his talk. There can be many ways of practice to realize Dharma. I also encourage readers to read the practices of the famous Thai forest tradition. Some Dharma reflections. A Buddhist view. The following story is from Satagu Sayadawgyi's talk on the lump of foam, Phenipindapama Sutta, SN 22. 95, Kanda Samyutta. Near Sho Bo area in Upper Burma, some yogis were using sunnata as meditation, kamathana. They reflected as, no fathers, no mothers, no wives, no sons, etc. To all external objects with concepts and their body shape and form disappeared. For example, the head of the body disappeared, the lower part disappeared, and then they thought if we continued to contemplate it could be wholly disappeared without me. They became frightened and afraid. Sayadaw's story ended here. My reflection, the Sanatha Vada, doctrine of emptiness, of some Buddhists also might be like this. They thought, I don't want to be disappeared, so they were scratching their heads and thinking of ways to solve the problem. Therefore, a popular view of Buddhism arose. This was coming and going to save everyone in samsara until it was empty. The problem is that coming and going again and again are endless and feeding craving for becoming, bhavatana. Tanha never has contentment, it's always in discontent and asking for more and more. As a ditti character, they have eternalism, sasata. They are difficult to help and liberate, and playing hide-and-seek games in samsara hide away from the Buddha and noble disciples. Why did Buddha Dharma disappear in India? Some years ago, I read an article by the Indian writer Rahula Samkhika on why Buddhism disappeared on Indian soil. It was in the Mahabodhi Journal No. 81, September, 1973 issue. Sankratyayan, R. 1973, The Rise and the Decline of Buddhism in India, Mahabodhi Journal, Calcutta, Volume 81, pp. 328-349. Here I don't want to mention anything the writer had said in it. I am quite sure there is already research, books, articles and essays on this subject. This thing is also mentioned by the Buddha in some suttas. Buddhist monks are the protectors of the Dharma, and if they keep the original teachings, do not change or add to them, and put them into practice, it will last much longer. There are two sasanas, the internal and the external. The internal sasana is to put the Dharma into practice and become one's own. The external sasana is the records of the true Dharma in accordance with what the Buddha had really taught without changing and adding. Both sasanas are important, but the most important of the two is internal sasana. Both of these sasanas are now still available. So we should not miss this chance. Combining all the Buddhist traditions, there are two ways for practice. The Noble Eightfold Path, which the Buddha taught, and the Bodhisattva ideal by later monks. For these two teachings and practices, an analogy is appeared to me as follows. In the middle of the ocean, a ship was wrecked with people on it. After some time, another ship with a captain and sailors came to rescue these people who were struggling and swimming in the dangerous water with sharks and harmful sea creatures. Not all the shipwrecked people wanted to climb on the ship. Some refused to go with it, and the captain asked them what was the reason. They answered, "We don't need your help. We'll find our own way to cross the ocean and reach the other shore." So instead of going with the ship, they left behind in the dangerous water. The people who followed the rescue boat reached the other side and were safe forever. I don't know what happened to the people who were struggling in the dangerous sea. The analogies in this story are the captain and the sailors, the Buddha and his noble disciples. A wrecked ship in the middle of the ocean, samsara bound with dukkha. The people were rescued by the captain and sailors, Theravadan Buddhists. The people refusing to go with the captain, other Buddhists. The rescued ship, the Noble Eightfold Path. To cross over the ocean to the other shore by swimming, the six paramitas. The rescue ship arrived at the other shore in safety forever, free from dukkha forever, nibbana. There is a big question that arises. What happened to the people leaving behind who were very stubborn with tanha, mana and ditti by swimming to cross over the sea? Maybe they were sunk to the bottom of the sea forever, who knows? Why? Future is uncertain or not sure. The past is a memory, the future is unknown, now is the knowing. A wrecked ship, dana, sila, samatha practices without right views. Sometimes it's amazing to know people. Even they don't have common sense. If people have common sense, the situations and their lives can get better. It's even better if people have wisdom. We don't appreciate or understand dukkha that we cling to the self-view, sensual pleasures and becoming, bhava tanha, coming and going forever, like a dog clung to its dry bone. We don't need Western philosophers to teach us what dukkha is. I don't know how many of them, in the past, became, are or will become Buddhists. Maybe they can teach you how to become a hedonist and hedonism. Today, world situations confirm this point. To see, to understand, to penetrate dukkha, the sutta teachings are enough. Actually, we are always living and experiencing these two noble truths, the cause and result, samudaya and dukkha, all the time. If we have sati and panna, mindfulness, observation and reflection will experience the four noble truths. Instead, we're like blind people have eyes but can't see. It was also like living with our minds all the time and never separated, but we don't know about it. Also, the four meanings of dukkha are close to us in daily life. These are oppressive, conditioned, burning and afflicting, pilanatta, sankatata, santapata, viparinamatha. Here oppressive means, mind and form oppress, torture and torment the owner who attaches them. Conditioned means, mind and form are conditioned by tanha and oppressed by it. Burning means, burning with tanha fire. Changing means, changing with dukkha, oppress and torture by changing from aging, sickness and death. There is no dukkha greater than that, and all are included. So asking for more khandhas or uncountable khandhas is too extreme and only a nutty person can do it. There are opposite things in nature. With a teacher, there are also students, with men there are women, vice versa, etc. This is common sense. When things get extreme and cause problems. Like the following true story told by Satagu Sayadaw. More women than men. A few years ago, Satagu Sayadaw did some teachings in Germany. In each teaching, he saw more women than men in attendance. He was curious about it and asked them the reason on this matter. The answer was, During the Second World War, many men died and left behind more women. This is the main cause of women population increases and men population decreases. Sayador also heard a true story which happened after the war. There was a passenger bus carrying women on a line with only a male driver on it and no male passenger. So the women forced this poor guy and drove the bus to somewhere. Sayador did not mention what happened to him later. What a poor man. Therefore, when things are becoming extremes, it becomes ugly and problematic. Without the middle way, humans are always in dangers. We see a lot of these things in today's world. Buddhas are teachers who need students. If everyone becomes Buddha, where are the students? If everyone wants to be man, and where are the women? It seems to me sometime human beings even don't have common sense. Go against the natural law. Closing square bracket. Here, I would like to bring up two stories of taking the Bodhisattva vow in Myanmar. These are true and humorous stories mentioned in the biography of Mogik Sayador. You have to look for another one. One day, Yu Tao, who appreciated Bodhisattva's way, said, "In the world there were very few Buddhas. It needs more Buddhas to appear. There are many living beings to be liberated. Therefore, it's good to open classes for Bodhisattva lectures." Here we can see Yu Tao was more intelligent than Mahayana philosophers. But his wife Do Chitu listened to the teachings of Mogik Sayador that she did not like longer existence. She held the view that it was better if existence could be cut off now. Yu Tao has made a Bodhisattva vow. So he encouraged his wife to become his bhava partner, following him in the rounds of existence by helping him to fulfill the parameters, i.e., it was like Princess Yasodhara to Prince Siddhartha. Dorchit-u's response was, "No. I don't want to follow you. Your way, Bodhisattva path, is so long." So Yu Tao went to see the village monk Phintorgi Yu Nandia for help. Sayador Yu Nandia also went to see Do Chitu and persuade her, but she rejected. The village monk said to Yu Tao, "Dikaji, I can't teach her, you have to look for another one." Buddhists also should know what the Buddha had taught and what he did not taught. See the Pali Nikayas. In his life as a Buddha, what he only taught was Dukkha and the end of Dukkha. All other Buddhas also the same way. This is a true ideal of any Buddha. Kin Gyi Pork became disappointed. In the old days, Burmese monks were called as R Shin Ghy, Ta Kin Gyi, later using a short form, Kin Gyi, from Ta Kin Gyi. Even the monks had Pali names. They were known with their lay names. In front of their lay names, they were added with Kin Gyi, e.g., Kin Gyi Pork mentions here. Kin Gyi Pork means Master Pork, similar to Master Dogen. Pork was a lay name, Yu Pork. In the British colonial time, lay people called the British officers as masters, i.e. Ta Kin Gyi. In a village monastery, Kin Gyi Pork was staying as an abbot. He learned in Buddhist texts, completed with general knowledge and with pure sila. He had vowed as a bodhisattva. The alcoholics were passing his monastery when they went to the toddy field for toddy liquor. One day two alcoholics were very drunk, and they passed near his monastery and both chanting loudly together as followed. Immature ones are 500, with matured ones are 10. Future bodhisattvas will be 80,000. Behind these Buddhas are two of us. After us is Kin Gyi Pork. The meanings of these verses are, Immature ones are 500 numbers among the future of bodhisattvas, and the matured ones are 10 numbers. The 10 matured bodhisattvas are mentioned in the commentary on the future Buddha Metta. There are also 80,000 bodhisattvas who already had the predictions from the past Buddhas. So 80,510 Buddhas will arise in the future. After these Buddhas, two alcoholics will become Buddhas. After them, the time will come when Kinjiyi Pork will become a Buddha. Thought arose in Kinjiyi Pork, my brothers are even now still drunk, in craziness, and in bad shape. But for me, I am in strong desire to become a Buddha quickly and fulfill the paramitas by doing dainas and looking after the sila. With thinking and grumbling, Kinjiyi Pork became disappointed. In this way, people having expectations for the future can never finish and never end with uncertainty. In the Dharma talk on Bodhisattva and 24 Buddhas by Sayadaw Drive, Nandamalabhi Vamsa had more information on bodhisattvas. Our Buddha Gotama as bodhisattva met 24 Buddhas. Before he was born as Sumedha hermit, that was the time he met Buddha Dipinkara and got the prediction from him. He had been followed the bodhisattva path a very, very long time ago. He was thinking about the bodhisattva path for 7 incalculable eons, asinkaya kappa, and making vows and prayers for 9 incalculable eons. So to become a true bodhisattva for 16 incalculable eons. Adding with to fulfill the 10 paramitas 4 incalculable eons, totally become 20 incalculable eons. There are 3 types of bodhisattva according to their characters. Faith character has to fulfill paramis for 16 incalculable eons as true bodhisattva. Viriya character has to fulfill paramis for 8 incalculable eons as true bodhisattva. Wisdom character has to fulfill paramis for 4 incalculable eons as true bodhisattva. 1 incalculable eon is equal to 10,140, adding 140 zeros behind 1. Some Buddhists think bodhisattvas are staying in some Buddha lands and heavenly paradises, coming and going to save beings. Jataka stories on bodhisattva were the opposite. A bodhisattva still could fall into woeful existences, a payabhum, because of sakkaya ditti. How can a bodhisattva fulfill his 10 paramis by staying only in heavens and Buddha lands? Human IQ could be divided into 5 kinds. This is my reflection: fool, intelligent, intelligent fool, wise and intelligent wise. Who are the intelligent fools? With the modern world, many can be mentioned. For example, some politicians, some leaders, some economists, some businessmen, some scientists and some technologists, e.g., misuse of AI technology. Why are these people intelligent fools? They misuse their intelligence harmful to societies and nature. The wise and intelligent wise are the ancient sages and Buddha with noble disciples. If we follow the wise and intelligent wise, we'll never go wrong, otherwise in great disasters. In the Bhadakarata Sutta, Majjhima Nikaya, Sutta number 131, the Buddha taught as followed, translation by Ajahn Thanissaro. You shouldn't chase after the past, or place expectations on the future. What is past is left behind. The future is as yet unreached. Whatever quality is present, you clearly see right there. Right there. Not taken in. Unshaken. That's how you develop the heart. Ardently doing your duty today. For, who knows? Tomorrow, death may come. There is no bargaining with death and his mighty horde. whoever lives thus ardently, relentlessly, both day and night, has truly had an auspicious day. So says the peaceful sage. This is what every Buddhist should follow. Sabi Sata Sukhita Hontu.